એક્ટિવ ડ્રોપ છે એટલે એક્ટિવ ડ્રોપ ની અંદર કન્ફર્મ બાય અને એ ફિલ્ડ નો એક્સેસ ખાલી
Jignesh bhai, I think we should be able to put everyone on mute as well. Will you be admitting everybody? If you admit everybody, you won't be able to do the presentation.
Yeah, okay.
So somebody else can maybe admit? I don't know.
It's Gopal ji.
Yes, sir, yes.
Jignesh bhai, maybe if you make me the host instead of co-host, I should be able to share my screen so it can be a little better. If you can stop sharing and then just make me the host.
All are on mute now.
I made you host also, Richard.
It still doesn't allow me. I don't know what is wrong. Okay, please go ahead. Let's start. We are late by 4 minutes. So
can we start, sir?
Yes, Gopal bhai, please.
So I'll start then. Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to. I would request everybody to please keep on mute. Welcome to Q3 FY22. Earnings call of Yash Pakka Limited. I would like to welcome Mr. Ved Krishna, Vice Chairman, Mr. Jagdeep Hira, Managing Director, Mr. Jignesh Shah, CFO, Mr. Satish, who is Head of Compostables, and Mr. Sagar, Head of Innovations. Now I would like to hand over to Mr. Ved for his initial remarks. Over to you, sir.
Namaskar, all the investors who've joined us today. As always, we are very excited about the call. We are, of course, very, very happy to share what we are doing, how we are taking things forward, and moving on our journey. There's significant steps that we have been taking, and I'm very happy to share the journey with you. And of course, my colleagues will also share the numbers for the past quarter and our long-term plans. I'm also very happy that two of my colleagues who you've not met so far are joining in. They are critical to the future of the company, and hence I felt it is important for us to introduce them to the investors as well to further gain your confidence in what we are doing. So Satish Chami Velumani has joined us now as the CEO of our compostables division, which all of you have been very, very interested in. Satish comes from with a very strong background of about 10 years in US working with 3M, then running a couple of his own startups in India in the food sector. And then he has again, decided to come into head our molded products division, and we are really fortunate and proud to have him. And of course, I'm sure in the coming quarters you're going to see a very significant change as he takes more and more initiative in this division. The second person who is very critical to our growth and journey is Sagar, Sagar Shejavalkar. Sagar has again a very strong background in packaging, and he has been leading our innovations. A lot of our growth will come from what we do in terms of investing in our R&D and innovations. And there are various things which you're doing. Some of them I'll share with you. Some of them I've shared in the past. And I'm sure in the coming few months and years, you'll see a lot of new products coming out of our kitty. And I'll be very, very excited to share them with you as we go forward. So let's go on, Jignesh Bhai. Let's quickly wrap through my slides. So yeah, I'm just sort of reiterating what we are trying to do as a company. I'm sure most of you have been in our presentations, so you must have heard this. But again, I want to reiterate for those who may not have got a idea of what we are doing and maybe attending for the first time. So the basic idea for the existence of the company is to build towards global leadership in innovating or creating, producing and distributing regenerative packaging. And the idea that drives us every day is that how do we contribute towards a cleaner planet? Next, Jignesh. We have taken a strong goal. The 2025 goal, as we mentioned before, is about 1,500 crores. But then, as you will see in this presentation, we've gone a year ahead as we move to the next year to go towards 2,500 crores and 400 crores of profit by 2025-26. And I'm going to talk a little more about it. So how are we going to do this? And this is a question that is, I'm sure, up in your mind because it's a relatively small company thinking of these big aims. And, you know, how do we plan to do this? So there are about four big ideas that we are working on. The first, of course, is the molded food serviceware products, which has generated a lot of interest. We are still stabilizing the operations there, but we are very confident going ahead. And with Satish coming in, we have more energy in that division. So the idea is to grow that in the next 3 to 4 years, 250 tons per day. And the way we are doing that is to build pulping, as you see on the right-hand corner, 150 tons of bagasse pulping, and then to set up very different franchise sites across the world to produce our products and to supply them in different parts of the world. The second part, which we have focused on and built upon, is the compostable flexible packaging materials, where we've had some breakthroughs in the last quarter. We've been doing some projects here, and going ahead, I'm sure you're going to hear more and more of this. This is basically food packaging, which is eventually things like potato chip bags, et cetera, et cetera. Sorry, I'm just going to take a break. Jignesh Bhai, is it possible to let people enter, even if you can't let them enter?
I have already requested. Gopalji, can you enter everyone? Because I'm not able to see all of them.
Is that possible, Gopal Bhai? Because we don't want people waiting. That will be odd. Jignesh Bhai, if you make them enter, then nobody else will make them enter. Let them enter.
Yeah,
okay, let's go back to the presentation so that we don't lose the flow. Yeah. So I hope Gopal Bhai, somebody from your team can enable people to enter and they're not waiting. Okay. So the next part is another innovation which we are doing in terms of what is something called stone paper. And we are going to build towards that for compostable carry bag material, which is another innovation we'll be coming up with. Next, please. So the broad roadmap, we've discussed till 2025 with you before, but now we've added 2025-26. Is basically this year, we have delayed the project a little bit, mainly because of COVID and our inability to visit machine suppliers. But we have now taken it up in full flow. And the ideas are to set up stronger pulp drying so that we can start franchised molded products production and to convert our paper machine 3 to a flexible packaging base material, which we will convert and provide to the market. Next year, we are going to take another jump, and we've started looking for sites where we are going to build at least a 250 tons pulp line with similar product range of flexible packaging, market pulp, and molded production. We are going to, obviously, this is going to take about 18 months, this whole setting up of this production site. And we are going to commercially be stable in by 2025-26. So that's the broad roadmap that we are going to follow in the coming few years. Next, please. So this is the broad sector which we are targeting, and we are totally staying in this sector. And there are three areas that we look at: food carry, food packaging, and food serviceware. As you can see, there's a huge growth potential that is happening in this sector. The market size is 606 billion by 2026. A lot of that is going to shift towards more sustainable and ecological products, where, of course, is where your company is going to try and play a large global role as we keep moving. Next, please. So the key components of this growth and the team that are there is, first is, of course, operational efficacy. You've all met Jagdeep, and he has been driving the company towards more profitability, more turnover. And as you will see, that that continues to be the trend. The next is effective leadership in food serviceware, which is where Satish is now stepping in with a strong background in this domain. And we are already seeing changes as he's spent a couple of months with us. We also have Sagar, who's come in for product development. And again, you'll see a lot of products coming out of our kitty as we move forward. There's lots of things in the pipeline, and we are investing more and more towards innovations. We also have another gentleman. He's not joined the call today, but Kaushik Banerjee. We know that effective project execution will be a key. And again, Kaushik is leading that. Again, a wide exposure, internationally leading projects for many, many years. The capital structuring and flow, Jignesh Bhai continues to look after that. And the strategic collaborations and coordinations stays with me. Next. So just looking at the short term, next quarter, I want to give you very clear, precise targets that we are going to be looking at. Of course, we want to ensure that this year ends with our highest ever turnover and profits, which is where we are headed. We want to finalize the project we've been talking about for the past year or so within this and the funding for it for flexible packaging within this quarter. We are going to establish an innovation hub in Bangalore. Sagar has worked out the modalities. We've chosen Bangalore because we want a certain kind of talent and we are not able to retain it in the other parts of the country. So we are going to invest in this and set up a very strong base for ourselves there. And we've started looking at molded products franchisees, and we are going to activate that significantly in this quarter. Next, please.
You already have catalyst, no?
So this is more or less from me. I will hand over to Jignesh Bhai and Jagdeep.
You can say.
Jagdeep, would you like to start?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. And hope the quarantine is getting over for everyone. And we are delighted that we are going to be back on track. So the highlight for the quarters has been ever highest revenue for 9 months, which was 78.47. Highest tableware, as which has been faltering and pulling us back. So the production is...
Did someone reach out to Gauri's team?
Himanshu, can you mute somebody?
Microsoft.
Yeah, production has been 437 tons and revenue, which is around 22%, 30% actually from the previous quarter highest. Revenue again has been highest on the molded products, which is 10.85, almost 22% higher than the previous quarter. Overall, highest PBT for 9 months for overall business, which is approximately 44 CR. And we hope to see the ever highest profit for this full year as well. Yes, Vigneshwar. So if we see production on the top for paper has almost been the same as of last quarter. So from AOP, if we see pulp has taken a big leap, which is 19% higher what we predicted in the start of the year, and almost 30% higher from the previous quarter. So molded products, as I said, is almost higher by around 22% with 437 of tonnage from the last quarter, around almost 80 tons of jump in the quarter. So paper revenue is almost at par with a bit of 4% of jump from the previous quarter and 2% from the stretch targets what we have taken during the start of the year. Sellable pulp has been a good churn for the business, which is 41% higher from last quarter and 20% higher from the annual plan what we had. Molded again, if we see, so it's around 40% higher than the AOP and almost 2% higher from the last quarter. So, as a revenue, as a total, is around 81.26 CR, which is 77% higher from the AOP and 13% from the previous like quarter. So, I would request Jigneshwari to take over and just give you the glimpse of financial what has been uploaded at website. Thank you, Jigneshwari.
Jigneshwari, please unmute. I muted you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and I hope everyone is keeping in good health now. The standalone financial results for this quarter and 9 months ended has been uploaded. I would just like to give you the highlights. So we, as explained by Jadeep ji, we got with the total income for the quarter is 81 crore, which is highest ever done by YPM. And the consolidated 9 months revenue, standalone financial figure is 214 crore, which is also highest as of now. If you compare this to the previous year of 31st March 2021, you already surpassed the whole year number of 31-21, because that was even a COVID period. But still, if you look at it from a number perspective, we have considerably done well. And that is, the growth is consistently coming in since last three quarters consistently. So that's a thing that is happening now. On the profit side, we have done a 14.24 crore of profit for the quarter and total 9 months profit of 43.93, which is in fact double of the previous whole year. And consistently, if you look at the quarter-wise performance, we have been able to achieve the same numbers over the quarter. So that is also, shows the consistency in the numbers that we are getting. These are some of the key ratios. PBT has gone up to 20%. EBITDA is 27%. Net profit ratio is also improved to 14%. Our current ratios are improving from 1.32%. We hope to still do it better in this quarter by improving our current ratios. ROCE has gone up to 24%. We also have, as explained in the earlier calls also, that we have a 100% subsidiary based out of US. And because of the regulations, we are also now consolidating the numbers. In the US subsidiary, which is PACA Inc., there are no revenues for this quarter. The revenues would of course start coming from the next year. Whatever has been done is only in terms of the cost that we have incurred, which is the activities that has been undertaken. There is mainly we are doing study on the table pad market, and we are also participating in events in US for material efficiency and the other stuff. So other than this, there is consolidated financial numbers are in line with the standalone. Only some expenses which has been incurred in the the US subsidiary is getting consolidated here. So these are some of the key updates on the performance. Of course, the questions would come, and we'll be happy to take questions on these topics. The one I have been getting a lot of requests from the shareholders on the shareless release. So this is being undertaken with the PSU bank that we are working with it right now. It's only the procedural part which is taking slightly longer time than we expected. We are still on the job and we expect to get these things done at earliest, but as of now the time commitment looks slightly difficult. But we will try to see that we will be able to do this in the next couple of months. The only problem is the, you know, because we have got four consortium banks, and each bank is asking to each other, and you know, we are waiting for the lead bank to confirm the arrangement. The other thing that we want to do on the banking is, you know, reduce the number of banks that we have today. Because of the four banks, we have the operational efficiencies coming. On the project side, the you know, projects has been realigned as per the change in the business requirements. We have hired a consulting firm, EFRI, to do the deeper study of the market before we enter into the project. Project concept will be ready by end of April 22 and implementation will be done next year by September 23. US subsidiaries, again, we have started exploration of the chart products in the US market, and GCA platform vision has been created. This will also be operational by May of 2022. So this is the presentation from our side. We'll be happy now to take questions. I think Nivedita will be able to you know, take the questions, and you know, we can take questions one by one.
Namaste, everyone. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for joining us today. So we'll be taking questions one by one. If possible, let's limit the questions to one per person, and we'll circle back to you if you have other questions. You can type your questions in the chat box. Sure, Vishal, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Audible?
Jignesh, yeah.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone.
Yes, you.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jignesh bhai had just confirmed something regarding the release of pledge. So I had a similar query because I believe this is the fifth con call, and investors have repeatedly asked about, you know, release of pledge. So you can understand that it is a matter of concern for us shareholders that the pledge should be released at the earliest. So can you please give a specific date or a month? Because I believe the third quarter results of 2021, also we were told that it would be released prior the end of 2021. Then in October, when we had a con call, we were told it will be released in the month of January 2022. So far, I don't understand why is it taking 6 months? As in, it's a very long procedure. And please give us a specific date because... you can understand last five con calls you are getting this question repeatedly.
Yeah, so thank you, Vishalji. Happy to take that question. So we have been getting the questions from the investors, and we have approached the bankers. In the last call, we had confirmed that we will be able to do it by January, but because of the, you know, the delay in the approvals at the bank side, so banks in the consortium had already agreed. And couple of banks has already given us the approval, but with the lead bank, the approval process is taking slightly longer time. So we in fact had a meeting last week also. What we are expecting is by end of March, we should be able to get this thing done. But we are pretty, not sure whether it may take a couple of one or 2 months though. So on a safer side, we would say we'll be able to complete this by end of April.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Vishal. Yogansh, you can go next.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. We have a couple of questions from my end. So, firstly, like you mentioned, the vision or the roadmap for next couple of years, that we want to take our turnover to 500 crores and then to 700 crores. So if you could also share the breakup of this turnover, how much are you expecting from what kind of product profile of us? How much will be from the chuck, from the normal paper side?
Sure, absolutely. That's a great question, Yogansh, and thank you for that. So fundamentally, in the molded product side, including the pulp drying side, it's about 150 crores when we look at the 500 crore distribution. And the that's the big push that we are going to do in the next year. And then again, with the team strengthening, we are quite confident to take that forward. And the paper will grow further to about 350 crores is what we are targeting in the coming year. And subsequent year, again, we want to grow chuck even further. So about 300 crores will come from chuck, and pulp and paper will account about 400 crores for the subsequent year. In the next 2 years, it's 500 and 700.
All right. So, sir, currently, what is our capacity and the run rate that we are at? 250-280 crore run rate. So are we at almost full capacity utilization in the current setup?
You're talking about the molded products or
overall
pulp and paper? Yes, we are close to 100% capacity utilization. In the molded products, we are between 50% and 60%. But that said, there's a significant shift in strategy. So what we are doing is that our own molded production will be relatively limited in the kind of scale we are looking at, because we want to grow much faster in this domain. We are seeing a lot of demand come in and a lot of possibilities come in. And the idea is that we are going to do pulp. We are going to start drying our pulp. We are going to set up franchisee facilities in different parts, and Satish is strategizing where he wants those franchisee facilities. And we are going to supply pulp to them and then buy finished product and supply those. So that's the strategy. And that's the only way we can do significant sort of, you know, not the generic curve, but, you know, for significant growth, that's the only way we can do it. So we have started, we had started our first franchisee, but we are still learning how to stabilize that. But within this year, the idea is to at least go to three franchise sites.
Okay. Sir, I have a few follow-ups on this. Can I go now? Should I?
I would request Nivedita to moderate. It depends on how many questions she has. She'd probably ask you to wait. But yeah. I'll wait for Nivedita.
Yogansh, I'll come back to you.
I have a few follow-ups, so I'll come back.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. Manali, you can go next.
Hi. So my question is, I'm very happy to see actually the flexible package 100 PPD capacity coming up in 2022-23. So it looks like if I say for 300 days, if you're operating for 30,000 capacity, MTA is coming in. So if you could throw some light on this, like I think we've cracked the formula or something, like how is it? So if you could throw some light on this.
Sure. Sagar, do you want to come in? This is your baby. Sagar, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. So there are a different mix of products and specific applications which we are looking at. Currently, we also have certain MVPs which are undergoing trials, and that we feel and we are confident at first level to have somewhere around 100 metric tons per month, and from that as our basis we are going to grow month on month basis. So that's how the projections we have in our mind towards flexible packaging.
Yeah, so just to elaborate on that, Manali, basically what Sagar is, I presume you know, it's a minimum viable product that we've created. There are some partnerships that were done in the last year. Yes, we have reached a place of success technically, and we have started outsourcing the manufacturing now. And the idea is to take these formulations, create the base paper, which is, so just now we are using another base paper, not manufactured by us, to get it right. And then by next year, the idea is to start modifying our machines, to create the base paper ourselves and to go for these usages. So these are food and non-food usages. We've done some sachet kind of packaging where we've been successful. And we are now doing some other food contact packaging as well. But yes, it will be a big leap of faith. And of course, we are very buoyant about this project.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot. And I'm very happy to see this. Very happy to see this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Manali. So Jay, you can go next. Sujay, are you there? Okay, Kitesh, you can go next.
Hi, all. Just a couple of questions. First one is, like, what kind of revenue are we expecting from the US market? Like, do you are getting any pointers or any feelers? Like, from, it's say you're saying from next quarter, the revenue should start from the US market. And like, what will be like the packaging part or the paper part? I just wanted to know that.
So US market, we are fundamentally doing three explorations. The first is the launch of our molded products in this region. And that is what we are targeting in the coming financial year. And of course, we don't have the capacity from India to be able to supply those products. So there, the idea is to be able to set up a franchised manufacturing facility somewhere in the region. We have started exploring Mexico, and there are some partners we are doing some work with there. So we'll see how that transpires going ahead. The second part that we are doing there is innovations. So we are setting up a strong innovation center in Bangalore for ourselves. But apart from that, we know that there is only that much we can do internally within our company and also in India. So the second part, that second brief that PACA Incorporated has is to build partnerships for innovations. So as Jignesh Bhai mentioned, we are participating and leading a conference called Rethinking Materials, which is happening in London in May. And we are the principal sponsors in that conference. And the idea is to be able to collaborate across the world through that forum. The main project that we are taking up in US is to, again, build towards flexible packaging. But just now is that just now the flexible packaging that we are creating is a multi-layered flexible packaging where paper is used and different bioplastics are used. In the new research that we are doing is basically trying to create a monomer, a singular layer, and use nature-based research, as in the broad domain of biomimicry, as the principle. So we are tying up with a US-based organization to do that research. So that's the second part. The third and probably the most exciting part for the longer term is our idea of setting up a pulp mill outside of India. And we've started that exploration. And of course, we may be even raising finance through the US arm for that. And the exploration has begun. We have started talking to some people to partner with us and to set up a 250 to 300 tons per day bagasse pulping unit. There are about three countries that we are exploring. And that's the third part. So yes, the revenues will start coming in first from the production and supply of molded products. The other revenue, which Jignesh Bhai mentioned, and I think that's really exciting as well, and I think investors need to know that as part of PACA Incorporated, we've been building a platform, a technological platform for services and solutionizing for the compostable packaging industry. And this is primarily with the thought process of enabling the compostable packaging industry and also building towards collaborations and impact investment. So channelizing more impact investment into the industry, as well as looking for collaborations for us and for others. So that's the other part which will start generating revenue in the coming year, which is 2022-23.
Another question was, I asked in the last quarter also, where is the funding going to come from for the expansion, or it is still not finalized and I should wait for the next quarter for the
It's not finalized, so I would say, Jignesh Bhai, it's better to wait, but it's broadly the current expansion is going to be more or less around 200 crores. So it's mostly equity coming from us and debt coming from banks. It should be a pretty traditional structure. It will not be anything drastic. The one after that, we are doing more research on, but I think that's too early to comment because that will be a more than a 500 crore expansion.
Okay, so it will be like from banks only the entire funding for the expansion.
For the next quarter. Yeah, it doesn't make sense at this share price to dilute. So we will not be diluting much. Even if we dilute, it's going to be very meager. We will hope that, you know, slowly the investors gain more confidence in us and the share price is way higher when we actually dilute.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kitesh. Avinash, would you want to go next? Avinash has typed his question, so I'll read it out. He said, are you planning to release all the pledged shares?
I think already answered, Nivedita.
Yeah.
Praveen, you can go next. Uday.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
My question is regarding the inventory days of FY21 end was about, you know, more than one and a half year. So, you know, how come the inventory days are so high and what is the situation currently?
Sorry, can you repeat that question? I couldn't hear. There was a background noise.
Sorry, I'm not able to hear you properly.
No, so can you please repeat that question because there was some background noise. I could not hear the full question.
Yeah, see, inventory days at the end of FY21 was almost more than 1.5 years. So what is the current situation and how are we going to control these days with the fluctuation from almost more than 1.5 years?
In our case, we are a seasonal business in terms of the raw material procurement. Because we procure our raw material mainly bagasse, which is the raw material, which is coming in a particular season. So we start procuring from somewhere in September, October, and we procure till March. So that's the season where till the end of March, our inventory always goes on a peak. Because by the time you procure this material, and then you start using it over the next month. So the inventory, the raw material which is procured till March is being used for the entire year. So you will see the inventory then gradually in the next quarter going down. So now also it's now again building up. November, December quarter, it will still keep on building till March. And then from April onwards, it will start going down. That's purely because of the seasonal business.
Okay, thanks.
Basically,
March 21 was also, we have to understand that there was again a COVID period. So, you know, you had some inventory which was in the books. Because last, I think, 7 to 8 days, there was no production because of the plant shutdowns.
So, thereby, it will remain more or less, it won't be 15 months, but it will remain in the region of about 10 to 12 months. Because that's what we want. We have to keep bagasse for the next 10 to 12 months to operate till the next January. So that and also husk is the other raw material, which we again store for almost 6 to 8 months. So both those will remain. That's the nature of the business. The inventories will be there for that, for the raw materials.
Okay, thanks. And another question is regarding CapEx, because fixed asset is more or less constant for last 3-4 years and there is no CWIP. So, you know, seeing the aspiration of, having the very high turnover, though I understand which part of that coming from franchise model, but still, what is our quarterly expectation of, CapEx infusion for next 3-4 quarters?
We've already spelled that out. I think the way the project is coming up, it'll be in that ballpark of 200 to 250 crores. So depending on how we do the outlay in the next year, that is the kind of assets that will be increased, because most of it will go into plant and machinery. So the asset increase will be corresponding to that expansion. Jignesh bhai, anything you want to add to that?
No, sir. I think whatever capex that we are doing as of now is only the regular maintenance capex. The big project which we are talking about would start flowing from the month of April, and then eventually we will see the results coming in the next year.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Udayji. Nikhil, I guess your question has been answered by Ved and Jigneshi. Ayush, you are in the queue next. You can go ahead, please.
Hi, Ved, and congratulations on a good set of performance of the entire team. My first question, and I'm really excited to ask this one, is that I've been traveling for the past 2 months and I see Chuck everywhere. I go to the airport, I see Chuck. I go to any QSR, I see Chuck. And despite, you know, other brands being present. So first, I would like to understand, you know, what the team really is doing that I see Chuck's presence so much everywhere. And I mean, I go to the local market for a family event, I see Chuck. And this is Calcutta. So I would like to really understand that, you know, what's the supply chain like and how are we, you know, I mean, how does Chuck even differentiate with another brand? I mean, Zoom is coming in and then there is Ecoware. So how do we differentiate and what's really the differentiation between these products? And why would a QSR or a local vendor here prefer Chuck over these brands?
I'm so happy to hand this over to Satish, because he's there now and he's leading from the front. So this is mostly the team's magic. And thank you for seeing Chuck everywhere. So it's good for us to hear that.
But yeah, thank you, Ayush, for that question. I think it's a fantastic testament of all the hard work that the team has put in over the last few years. So to begin with, what is the positioning of Chuck that has helped us go really, really far definitely the quality that we have built in. So the moment, I mean, I've been on the road talking to customers, potential customers, right? I'm doing the pitching myself, and the pitching has been easy. The first thing that they say is, yeah, you know, you don't need to sell the brand. We know it. We know what Chuck stands for, which again goes back to quality and safety. So that's a point that we keep pounding on. So that has helped us dramatically in the past and also into the future. That will continue to happen. So that's the promise that I would want to make. And the second thing that has helped us reach the, you know, that far into the country, deep and wide, is the way the team has been set up. We have multiple key account heads, if you will, across the geography, as well as regional sales heads. So the key accounts focus primarily on larger institutional accounts, such as QSRs and larger chains and major institutions. And the regional heads, they work very, very closely. Again, I traveled at least like with 2-3 distributors who are, they are like owners of Chuck, right? The way they interacted with the clients, interacted with me, is like, look, we own Chuck, we are a part of Chuck, and we would actually go out and do all sorts of sale, right? So they are the CEOs for their regions, and that's how they operate. Both the regional sales heads that we have, as well as the distributors, a fantastic bond that exists between them, which helps us reach to the next level resellers and the smaller restaurants, smaller accounts as well. So, so far the structure has been working great, and it's fantastic. It definitely is fantastic. So, and thank you again, Ayush, for the vote of confidence. We will continue to do you will see more of the same with a lot of enhancements that will help us reach the goals that we have set for the next year and the years beyond. I hope that answers your question.
That was a really good explanation. Just to follow up to that, I mean, if you can explain to us, you know, how is Chuck placed with respect to the competition, and who would be our, you know, like we see them as like real competition, and we see that, okay, they are also catching up and we need to stay ahead of them. And what are we doing to stay ahead of them?
Oh, sure. Certainly. So there are 2-3 pronged approach that we are working on now. So the first one is, you mentioned Zoom and Ecoware, right? So Zoom, again, if you look at a price versus utility value, Zoom's pricing is much higher compared to Chuck. That pushes Zoom sort of out of favor with a lot of people, right? And Zoom is also known as the foreign brand. Chuck for us is this interpretation of mine comes from talking to various customers of ours, right? So Chuck for them, a lot of people have said, look, we moved into sustainability with Chuck. So, you know, they would want to see Chuck growing. And they do, they really like the premiumness of the product and the value that it brings in terms of safety, right? At a price that is very affordable. So Zoom, even though Zoom is a premium product and it probably is as safe as Chuck, they push the price point beyond an acceptable level. So that's the opportunity that we see. On Ecoware, you know, great products, great looking products, there are no questions. But performance, you know, we beat them very handily. And this is both, objective data as well as anecdotal data that you hear from the market. So this is what has helped us position Chuck between, let's say, Zoom and Ecoware, even though Ecoware is slightly cheaper, but our customers are pretty happy staying with Chuck. The second thing that we do, what is that we are trying to do over the next 4 quarters? And, the presentation also had a line item for delivery containers. So we all know delivery is going to be the a major growth driver in the next few quarters and beyond. So the first set of delivery containers are coming out between March and April timeframe. So that's one. And as Wade said, we are also building up additional capacity outside of the current plant, strategically positioning the newer capacity so we can improve our supply chain. We can go wider and deeper with the delivery containers. So that's one. And in the next quarter, we are developing meal trays for delivery. And that is also expected to be rolled out in the next quarter. Beyond these two, after the next 2 quarters, we are also looking at a lot of very, very innovative product ideas. As Wade mentioned, we have multiple market studies that are in the works. We are trying to do a lot of outside-in thinking, which is hearing back from the customers and designing the products that the customers want without compromising our identity, right? Which is safety, the stronger products at the thinner or lower thicknesses and whatnot. Right. And, our design ideology. So we are trying to find a very a good balance between what the market wants and what we are as a company. So you will see more of that.
That's lovely to know, Satish. And thanks for that answer. If I can just squeeze in one small one for Ved. I see 700 crore planned investment for the next couple of years, 3 years. How do you think funding will look like for that bigger figure?
I personally don't see it as a challenge. So where I come from now, and this is, I think our mindset is shifting a lot, Ayush, in the as we are looking wider as the team is also growing in strength. You've just heard from Satish, you heard a little bit from Sagar. There's numerous areas. We are just so excited with the kind of people who are coming on board and are going to lead this company. But more than that, what I'm seeing is a huge change around the world in terms of how people are seeing sustainability and ESG funding.
So, for example, I feel that we are actually still looking too low, because there is a smaller company than us, about half our size in US, called Footprint. I don't know how much you track the US market, but they just did a SPAC of $1.6 billion. So it's a smaller company than us, half our size. But that's the kind of interest. So they have raised $1.6 billion, which is whatever, 11,000-12,000 crore rupees. So why are we looking at only 700 crores is a question that we ask ourselves. So it may be faster than that, and we still have to learn. So we learn. But part of that is, of course, our international exposure. Satish mentioned, you know, we are looking at international sites, and that enables us to do more. I mentioned before that we are looking at pulping outside. I personally don't see it as a huge challenge if we deliver on our promise. So if we deliver on our promise and do the current 200 crore expansion, and you see the results, you will reward us. You will reward us by way of share price. So even if we have to dilute 5%, we are okay with that. And if a 5% dilution gets us 150 to 200 crores, the raising the remaining 500 crores is a non-issue. So even in a traditional route, we don't see it as a challenge. But that said, there is numerous possibilities today in terms of funding. I think the funding is always there. The question is our clarity and our performance, our ability to execute the projects, and our ability to perform with operational excellence. So I think for us, the greatest joy is that we are building a very, very strong core and a very strong team. And that is what is going to make the big difference as we go ahead.
That's good to know. And I like the clarity in the thoughts. And just one observation, if I may. I was just looking at the LinkedIn profile of Chuck, and I'm amazed to see the kind of employees that Chuck is hiring. And it gives me a startup-like feel, honestly. It does not make me feel like I'm looking at a paper or a paper company to be learning more. So, great.
I think with Satish there, it will remain a startup. The culture will remain as that of a startup.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
I'll not take much more of your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayush. Thank you so much. Dinesh ji, you can go ahead. Dinesh ji, are you here? I'll read out his question. He says, what is the reason for power and fuel cost going up sharply in this quarter, and what steps are we taking to control the same? And what is the current overall debt?
Great. Jagdeep has not spoken. Jagdeep, I think this one you could tackle, and maybe the debt, Dinesh, I could come back.
Hi, Dinesh. As you might be aware, fuel and fuel prices globally are shooting up since last 6 months, and particularly in India because of non-coal allocations across full commodity items, be it husk, agrobase, or biofuel, or its coal. Because of scarcity of one fuel, the other fuel pricing have gone up. Having said that, this particularly is a starting period for fuel, what we take husk as a fuel, is a crop season. And at that time, there always has been a trend of pretty higher jump in the basic pricing, and then it gets diluted down over the next quarters. And we see it coming for the next quarter also. But yes, vis-a-vis last year, the fuel pricing are going to go up as a comparative of last year because of scarcity in the coal and fuel going to other locations as well. So there is a demand and supply gap which has created a fuel pricing high. But we see it mitigating by our realization, our final product realizations. Hope I'm clear. So on debt, I would request Jignesh Bhai to arrive.
So Dinesh ji, our current debt exposure combined of term loan and working capital is around 80 crore, and we are happy to announce that all the debt that was there prior to 2017 in terms of the term loan has been repaid. So it's now the current term loan which is outstanding is only the amount which was taken for our tableware project in 2018. And eventually that will also be paid off. So you know, we are on the path of streamlining our debt portfolio. Thank you.
Ved, would you like to add something?
No, no, I was just asking if there's, you were quiet, so I was just checking if there's anything else.
Okay. No, no, no. Yeah, so I think there's some lag, but we have a few more questions. One more question, and then I'll circle back to the people above. So Sujoy has asked, what is the present capacity utilization of Chuck and what is the break-even point for Chuck?
Jagdeep?
Yeah, Mr. Sujoy. Presently, we are operating at around 58% of OE levels. And the break-even, this point was discussed last time also. 65% is the break-even point where we see profits coming in from the operations. Yes, Nivetha, next, please.
I think there
Thank
was
you.
One question from Mr. Praveen Sharma.
Yeah. We'll go back.
Someone, Mr. Praveen Sharma, will also, I think, asking for questions a couple of times. So you can.
Yes, we'll go back to him, Jagneshji. Yoganch is there first. Yoganch, you can go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thanks again for the opportunity. So a couple of questions on the CAPEX side again. So, I mean, we are at 14 tons per day of chuck capacity and now we want to take it to 50 tons per day and then another 100 tons per day, right? So, in this, from our previous interactions, what I remember that product development was a very key part, and that was something that we said was our edge in terms of, you know, designing the lid and all those things. So now with the franchise model, wherein we'll be giving the pulp and they'll be producing, how will we sustain that edge in terms of the development? And also, our own capacity is much, much smaller to what we are expecting in the franchise model. So how do you think about this franchise model?
So the design, Yoganj, totally remain ours. We own the design as well as the tools, not just the design. We also own the actual molds. So even in the franchises that we are entering into, the tool itself is ours. Not only are we doing that, we are also registering IPs for the design. So nobody can take the design away. So design we'll keep, that's very close to both Satish and my heart. And, you know, this is something we work on very, you know, we do a lot of work around getting the design right. And like, I can't even begin to explain you the joy that comes with it because we literally explore how the fingers move and what the angles need to be. And, you know, so there's numerous things that we work on in order to do that. So design IP, we will definitely retain. In terms of the franchised model, it's totally that direction which you're thinking. We are going to be way smaller in our own molded production. I think the way we thrive, for Jagdeep and me, the key and the rest of the team, the key is scale. If you want to build scale, it's very difficult to do it with 500 kg machines and multiples of them. It's very difficult to run that kind of show. So the way we see our business growing as a team is that we want to grow and invest a lot in pulping. That is where our focus lies. So ourselves, we'll be producing a lot of pulp and we'll produce very, very highly specialized grades of paper. You know, literally all above 100, 150 rupees a kg. Nothing below that. Literally, that's the aim for the future. What we will do is to find different partners across the world. It's like the Apple Foxconn relationship, right? Apple doesn't produce anything on its own. Everything or most of it is produced by Foxconn. So, but the capacity of Apple is that many million phones anyways with Foxconn producing.
The same similar model in this field will be that we will find different sites and we will have them produce our designs, but we are not limiting ourselves to that. So we are, as Satish was mentioning, we are undergoing an entire market study in US. So based on what comes out, we may even do OEM supplies. We may not do our own brand. We may enter with more generic products and then build our brand in the future. So those are all sort of more tricky sort of decisions that we will take as we go along, depending on what feels right. But the fundamentally, we are rooted in the idea of scale, because only scale can make a big difference in the sustainable packaging. We can be a very small boutique producer with a lot of social media hype, and that will not do anything. If we all are wedded to the idea of leaving the planet cleaner, the only way to do it is to do it at scale. So that is the only way we can achieve anything. So you know, the size of the problem is huge. And we want to build scale and we want to do it fast. I don't think the earth or humankind has time. We don't realize it, most of us. So I don't think that's a luxury we have. So we will keep building our capacities for pulping. We will move some of it to very specialized papers for food packaging. And we move the rest to pulping, which will be franchised out for molded products. So yeah, the molded products will grow with the franchise model is where we are seeking. And of course, the proof will lie in actually experiencing, and Satish is experiencing the growing pains of that. But hopefully by next quarter, he'll be a happier man.
Yeah, I completely agree with your point regarding the need to scale the business. And the best way for a company like ours is to go asset, right? And the direction seems to be logical. But if you could also just dwell a bit more in terms of our current success in Chaksopa, even with the 14-ton capacity that we have, the scale which I see in the last 3 years, I don't see it at a very substantial place. Even on a quarterly run rate, I think on an average, we are 5 to 6 crore kind of a run rate, which in a market like India is very, very small. So is there any challenge that you are facing in terms of customer acceptability, or is there still a problem wherein the production that we want to churn out is not able to come, maybe because of the higher wastages that we have? Is wastage also still a problem for you? And if yes, what is that percentage, if you could share that?
Sure. The multiple challenges and growth pains, but all a matter of learning and growing. So the first, of course, is on the production side. As Jagdeep mentioned, the capacity utilization is still between 50 and 60%. Not great. So there are certain investment decisions we had made without knowing the sector very well. But today the team is very confident and is working towards taking it to 80% in the next 2 quarters. So it has taken time because we haven't been able to crack the technology. And the Chinese suppliers were helping us, but then 2 years of COVID has totally crushed that. On the other side, also, there have been challenges on the market side, especially with COVID. First thing that stops is the restaurants, and that's where we supply. So, you know, so that breaks the whole chain, and our whole focus was QSR. So Satish, again, has been diversifying the whole portfolio and our distribution system. Our big, one of the big partnerships that's happened in the past quarter is that with Blinkit or Grofers. So we've become their sustainability partner. We will hopefully create more PR around that idea as well. We are available across their locations, which are 6 to 10 now, I think, in the country. So that's one way of diversifying risk that, you know, even if there is another shutdown, there is the retail market, and Satish is again investing more on the D2C kind of model as well. The second thing, we have a strong potential partnership coming up with Zomato. And the idea there is to channelize. Zomato has a huge sustainability agenda. So we are partnering them to channelize the products through them to their restaurants. So that's the other model. So one is to build towards D2C. Second is to use their hyperpure model of Zomato to promote material to the restaurants. So these will diversify and, you know, lower the risk. But yes, it has been a challenging journey. But there is, every day you face a new challenge and a new failure, you learn one more thing. And we are still very, very buoyant. And as you see that, you know, it's still a huge part of our growth plans.
Yeah, that's really helpful to know your thoughts. So, sir, I agree with you. India is a beautiful market to scale products and everything, and sustainability is a yeah, just one quick follow up on this one, and then I'll be done. So, yeah, so can I?
We have some new questions. We have some new questions, and we would like to give people a chance as well. We'll come back to you, and you can ask your follow up question then. Thank you. Mudit, you can go next.
Am I audible? Hello, hello everyone. So, wait, sir. I had a question. The current sales for financial year 2021 was around 185 crores approx. And for 2025, we are targeting around 2,500 crores, if I'm not wrong. How do you think we are going to achieve? Isn't it very aggressive? Did you join late? Yeah, actually, I joined late. Yeah. Sorry for that.
I think, listen to the recording. I'll have to repeat everything. So there is a whole plan that is laid out and we've talked about what we are going to do. I would request you to listen because others have been on the call. So you can get the details from
there. Where can I find the recording? YouTube?
I'm sure they will. I think Nivedita, you post it on YouTube and I think something else. So, yeah.
And Mudit, it's also a part of the presentation. So, you know, the presentation has been uploaded now on the VAC.
Yeah, I checked the presentation, but I don't understand much.
Yeah, but I think if you listen to the recording, it will be easier than me repeating.
Done, wait, sir. Done. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Mudit.
Gaurav, you can go next.
Thank you. Thank you, Will. Hello. Can you hear me, guys? Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Gaurav, you're audible. Please. Okay. This is a question to Ed. I don't know if he's still online because I can't see him on my screen. But anyhow, just wanted to understand what your experience has been in US and how do you see that market scaling up, and what is the kind of turnover we can expect from there, from the PACA US entity in say a couple of years' time. And what percentage of our say revenue are we spending in innovation or say R&D? And I'll also want to echo Ayush's view. And I see chuck everywhere, let alone QSRs. Even the dhabas are having chuck. So kudos for that and the team for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Gaurav. You've made our day, on my night, your day. But the team's day, you and Ayush. It's always a joy to hear, you know, the evidence being seen in the market. So it's still early days for us in US. The idea for us was to start exploring this domain. So what we have done is gone in for a very extensive market study to really hack through what is the current situation in US in terms of disposables, not just biodegradable disposables, but what is the space like? And it is a way more complex market than than we think about it. There is a certain structure, there is a certain number of players who are relatively large. So we, Satish and Satish, me and his team are going through weekly presentations right now from our market study partners, and we are just trying to understand what is exactly happening here and where the pain points are so that we can, you know, formalize our strategy and move ahead. I think it's very early for us to put in a number what it's going to be. So it will depend on what happens by March, which is when the study gets concluded. And then we start formulating within March. We have our annual retreat and we start planning for the next year. And depending on Satish's bandwidth, he will decide how much allocation of energy and time and money is he doing for the US market. So that's something that is Satish's baby. And then he will have to take those, at least, you know, decide on that direction. But US is not just a market for us. US is also a path towards building scale. It's a way, it's like compared to the rest of the world, it is the biggest market in the end for various products.
And it is a way for us to do a lot of cutting edge research. So that ties in with your other question. So currently we are spending about 1% of our revenue, but this is slated to go up significantly. So we will move to about 3-4% in the coming year is what we are promising, Sagar. And let's see what happens. So directly our Bangalore Innovation Hub would take up at least 2%, I would say. But then we will have 2 or 3 projects across the globe, which we are looking at. So as stated earlier, we are participating in a conference in London and rather sponsoring a conference in London for Rethinking Materials. It's called Rethinking Materials. You can look it up. You'll find our name right up front. And the idea is to build global think tank in these directions. And we're looking at various cutting edge stuff. It may sound relatively utopian right now, but our global research is around microbial multiplication. It's around DNA usage and numerous things, but, you know, things beyond what we do in our own lab. So you know, nature-based flexible packaging, a little utopian, but also grounded in terms of, you know, milestone-based payments and partnerships, et cetera, et cetera. There is a lot of conjunction that is taking place between biology and technology. So we are trying to look at that and see how we can participate in that. So there will be a certain amount of investment that we'll do in that domain. And the third, of course, as I mentioned before, we are building a very, very exciting platform for the global compostable packaging industry. And that is as part of PACA Inc. And the idea is to be able to lead to more collaborations, service the industry with more solutionizing, and also lead more impact investment into the industry. So those are the broad 3 domains that we are looking at, but difficult to put a number right now. But maybe by the next call, we should be able to put a number for next year, at least on the US side, if Satish is happy with the study that people do here.
Sure, thank you. One request, Ved, given we've had experience in the past as well, not recent, but on the debt side, let's see and make sure that we don't get into a debt spiral and the capital structure remains proper rather than going all debt. So that would be the request here, because I think we've had bad experience in the past and you never know with market. And last but not the least, I think you've announced or you've shared some partnerships you've done, like Blinkit and potentially Zomato. What about partnerships on, say, paper side, like potato chips, etc.? Which are the names which we are doing the research with, if you can share right now? Otherwise, it's okay.
All under NDA right now. Very tight NDAs, because those are all very, very... I think Sagar will share at the right time, but yes, significant fun though. I'm happy to say that, you know, there's a lot of fun we've been having for the last 6 months in terms of global research and creating materials. And Sagar's team just created one more yesterday, actually, and got some more success on some of the conversions they were doing. And it looks like exciting times, but bound by NDA right now. They're global companies. They don't want their names out right now till we succeed. But at least we are hopeful enough or confident enough for success that we are starting to modify our machines in that direction.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Ved, and all the best to everyone in the team. And if I can ask, how is the team being made part of the journey and getting... should I put it? Are we putting ESOPs out to them, equity out to them, so that they feel winners in the company's success?
Absolutely. That's always been the culture. So we are very, very team-oriented in our whole belief system. And yes, everybody... So we are putting out a new scheme. We've had a scheme before also of stocks, but that's run out. So we've just put in another... We call it TSOPs instead of ESOPs, Team Stock Option Plans. So there is a structure that is coming out. We're just putting the final sort of... The board has already approved it, but we are just sort of, as a team, we are just looking at it once more and then releasing it. So it'll be out by the next, within this quarter.
Great. All the best. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Gaurav. Dineshji has a question. I'm going to read out. I think it is for Jagdeepji. He asks, with ethanol from sugarcane in high demand, does it impact our raw material availability and does it add to pricing pressure for raw materials? I have heard the 2G plants may come up in future for producing power for bagasse, from bagasse. So does this impact pricing of bagasse or pulp? Jagdeepji, was I audible?
Jagdeep's connection must have got off because it doesn't seem to be online.
I can answer the question.
Okay, for some reason, I'm not able to.
No worries. See. No worries. Vedita, I can answer.
Yeah, the please. Yes.
Yeah. So, no worries. I think Jagdeep's connection dropped off. I think I saw something. So anyway, so happy to answer that. So, mostly the ethanol is made from either molasses or sugarcane juice straight. It's not made from bagasse. Yes, bagasse is used in terms of as a fuel. But so is bagasse used in sugarcane production as a fuel as well. So basically, till the sugar mill has power price parity and they get a fuel, they are happy to part with the bagasse. So that's the basic mindset that the sugar mills have, that they don't want to, they want to make sure that they are earning the right amount from their bagasse. That's the idea. So we strongly believe in very long-term relationships. We have strong relationships with our current partners. There are two big sugar mills that we work with. And we are looking at creating similar relationships in the other parts of the world where we are exploring bagasse. So, yes, for now, we don't see any big challenge because bagasse itself is not converted to ethanol. It is the it is used more as a fuel in the process. So with that in mind, we don't see a challenge, but there could always be other usages that will come across. We'll just have to stay competitive in terms of pricing to the sugar mills.
Thanks, Faith. So Jay asks us, do we still have a tie-up with IRCTC for Chuck in the Indian Railways? And what future do we see with IRCTC?
I think IRCTC is barely functional right now in terms of number of trains, etc. No, we don't have a... So we created the product for them, but we never really succeeded in supplying a lot of products. We did supply some, but I think that was better done with other partners. So we see a future for sure. Institutional catering is always a good one, but it is not definitely not a front runner in our plans right now. We'll see how it transpires. It's a little more complicated than the way we like to do business in terms of tenders and manipulation of tenders, etc. So not the highest this for us, but I think Satish, you're planning to have one person for the institutional sales. I think Satish can add more ideas to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's IRCTC will bring an enormous amount of volume. It's probably one of the most important customers for us. And personally, I've had lots of conversations with them earlier. And we, you know, as Ved said, the moment they are back to their full capacity, absolutely, that's going to be one person running that show for us. And I'm very confident that we can get in, especially with the kind of products that we have.
I'm glad I asked Satish to come,
Praveen,
because I was more pessimistic
thanks,
on Satish. That than Satish was.
Yeah. So Mudit asks us, what role does Satish sir play? I mean, if he wants to answer more, but I can tell you his designation. He's the business head of our compostables division. But if Satish wants to take that up and explain more, he can. Go ahead.
I think that's good. I'm heading the compostables division. So hopefully we are, we can build a team to achieve the business goals, which is 1,200 crores in the next 3 years. So that's what we are. That's my role.
Thanks, Satish. We'll go back now. I think, Praveen, you can go ahead with your question if you're still here with us. Otherwise, we've answered all the questions.
Yeah, I was just going to say that,
Nivedita. Praveen, are you here?
12:30 at night, my time, so I might drop in 5 minutes.
Yeah, so we have been able to answer all the questions. I guess we've taken up. I don't think Praveen is here. So, any parting words, Ved?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you all for your confidence and for joining the conference each time. I think we are always excited to attend the investor meet because we get to learn a lot each time from your questions, from your concerns. For us, the idea is again to build regenerative packaging or compostable packaging at scale. That is what we as a company are here for. And we are going to keep focusing and building in that direction. As you see, we are building a very strong team. And that is our, I think, one of our greatest achievements in the last year. And with that team in place now, we are raring to go. There'll be more action coming forth in the next few quarters. Thank you again for all your support. Thank you for your kindness. And thank you for investing and having the confidence in us. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.